crest of the story. The ingenuity of man has never conceived anything better calculated to bring out all of the evil passions of humanity. Our forefathers early recognized the insidious wickedness and rooted it out. That's a quote. Those lines were written in the publication Living Age, 2 years before the turn of the century, and they were written about something so unsavory that it was perceived as threatening the very fabric of society. And the name of this nefarious, potentially lascivious practice was pell-mell. And this is the rest of the story. The French started it, of course. They spelled it a little differently, but it was the same idea. It was the 14th century. 300 years later, this plague of sorts reached the British Isles. In the spring of 1661, diarist Samuel Pepys was strolling in St. James Park, was peering through some bushes when he caught the Duke of York shamelessly engaged in pell-mell. Pepys had never seen anything like this in his life and perhaps never wanted to see anything like it again. Other vices took the place of pell-mell during the 1700s, but then in the early 1850s, the dreadful thing was reintroduced to England, this time in an even more potentially devastating form. Once more, the French were blamed for this crime against humanity, but it was too late for casting blame now. The damage had been done. Pell-mell continued to sweep Britain through the 1860s and 70s. About this time, an author named Mayne Reid wrote a treatise and commentary on the controversial subject, and the best thing that he could say about it was that pell-mell was better than war. And he admonished his readers regarding the kind of women that one was likely to become involved with as a result of engaging in this pell-mell. Then the disease reached across the Atlantic to embrace the United States. Manhattan high society was first to be charmed by this imported decadence. Couples would get together and they'd have dinner and then they'd do it afterward. The rest of the nation titillated followed. And as the new century approached, pell-mell got completely out of hand. It became associated with every imaginable evil, for virtually wherever it was also drinking and gambling and sexual immorality, the works. Through the efforts of one crusader, a reverend named Skinner, pell-mell was at last banned in Boston. And elsewhere, clergy and laity conspired to undermine it, and eventually they did succeed. Reading the newspaper accounts of those days about this immoral practice of pell-mell, which threatened to wreck civilization, one realizes that a lifetime ago was really a very long time indeed. For that which was said to have evoked all of our evil passions, the insidious wickedness we inherited from the French, originally called pell-mell, you call it croquet. Croquet. Only now you know the rest of the story.